It's time for the Apple Watchcast. WatchOS 5.1.1 is released with a few new features. Spotify app for the Apple Watch and 7 new complications coming our way soon. Apple's fourth quarter results, plus reviews of Activity Challenge and Watch Altimeter Pro. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 258, recorded Monday, November 12th, 2018. A case of broken repair.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
I missed my cue. Haven't done this in a while. It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Tom. Happy Veterans Day, at least when they celebrate it in the government.
That's true. It was yesterday, right?
Correct.
Today's observance day, or whatever they call it. So they get that extra holiday. Vincent couldn't join us today. He's still going to be out for a couple of shows. I think he's in Florida now. I don't know.
You lose track of him. I don't have his GPS tracker.
Yeah, he's not answering his texts either. So I think
I noticed that.
I think it's just going to be me and you from now on. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be back.
Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, I think he is. He's probably just having too much fun. He's just ignoring us, I'm sure. we've been off for a couple of weeks. Apologize for that. Couldn't be helped. Should be back on a regular schedule now. I've got a lot of things to update here, and we have some news to go through, and we may get around to an app review or two. But I went to the Apple Store recently with my daughter, and she was getting the new iPhone XR, which is an amazing phone, by the way, when you see it in person. And, of course, since I was there, I gave in and I upgraded my 10 to the 10S Max.
You were afraid of that, weren't you, last time we talked?
Could not resist any longer. No. Yeah. And I'm so glad I did it. The screen is fantastic. It's super fast. And that the camera is by far the best I've ever seen in a phone. I mean, I've done the portrait mode with the 10. And I don't know how much different this camera is, but the portrait mode, when you can then slide that slider back and forth and change the background, you know, blur.
Right,
It's just unbelievable you can do that with a phone.
So what did it take to upgrade it?
I am on the, what do you call it? The upgrade program from Apple, right? Which allows me to upgrade every year. And basically, you never pay it off if you keep upgrading like I am. but that's fine because I want the new phone usually anyway. The whole process, I mean, when I was in the store, I unpaired my Series 4 watch. Okay. I erased all content and settings on my phone, my old phone, basically wiping it since I had to give it back to Apple. And they go through a series of things that they look for, like the screen powers on, not too much damage, you know, that sort of thing. And then they make you do, you know, tap all the buttons to destroy your data.
Sure.
So, you know, they just make sure everything's okay with the phone. And when I unpaired the watch, you know, it when you unpair it, it updates. It's supposed to do a backup. That's the word I'm looking for. It's supposed to do a backup to iCloud, right, of your watch as it unpairs. So that's going on, and I get the phone set up first. You know, everything's great with the phone. It updates from iCloud like it's supposed to. All my apps show up, all the settings, everything's great. And I waited until I got home to repair the watch. That's a funny name, isn't it? You're not fixing the watch, isn't repairing it. You're repairing it.
Repairing it, yes.
Yes.
You gotta say it deliberately.
You do. I open up my Apple Watch app on my new phone, and to begin the pairing process, it asks me what backup I want to pair from, right? And it shows my other watches and the backups, and the most recent one is not there. Mm. The latest one is like months and months ago, before really? Even before watchOS 5 on my old Series 3. So I'm like, well, I don't really have a choice now, do I? So I try that one, thinking that I'll just manually update any new apps or settings I've done since then. Not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Well, halfway through, the pairing fails. So I try it again, and it fails again. Now, I've restarted both of these devices at this point, and I finally gave up, and I just paired it as a new watch without any backup. So I'm starting over with this watch. I mean, it's fine, but I don't understand why the backup wasn't there when I unpaired it successfully in the Apple Store.
Is the pairing process for the backup primarily settings that you would have that were customized? I mean, most of the stuff you're backing up is on your phone anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's supposed to back up what's on your watch to the watch app.
Mm-hmm.
And that backup, for whatever reason, wasn't there. So I don't, it's almost like if you can look at iCloud and see when you last backed up your computer or your phone, it's like the last one was missing.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I did my new watch. I did it in a hotel room, and I don't think I restored from a backup. I think I paired it as a new watch.
New watch, yeah.
It was so simple. Yeah, I mean, it was fast and simple.
Right, but it, you know, I had such great success with the phone doing almost essentially the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so a week later, I pick up my Series 3 to wear it, and I realize I had not paired it yet with the new phone.
Ah.
Well, that pairing also failed.
So, really?
So I had to go into settings on the watch. Here's what I did on this one. I did something different. I went into settings on the watch, and I chose restore. And it wipes out all content and settings on the watch, and I repaired it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if anybody else has run into these issues. You know, I guess getting a new watch and then a new phone is just putting too many variables into the equation. Maybe iOS 12 and watchOS 5 are not completely bug-free yet. Or maybe they don't work as smoothly as they should. Anyway, if anybody else has had that issue, let me know.
Yeah, I think so. I guess, did you research it and see if there was an issue out there?
I did not see anything at all. So I had repairing this week. it's a case of broken repair, right? That's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But they're all working great now.
So you've got the new speedy watch and the new speedy phone. So you shouldn't have any delays in about anything you do.
It is amazing. I have to say, anybody considering updating, it's kind of worth it. Now I haven't tried pairing my Series 0 watch yet with the new phone. I'm a little worried about that, but you know what?
Well,
that'll probably work great.
I think it'll be fine, right? Because you're not using a backup.
Well, that one will work perfectly. Well, no, there should still be a backup. I still use that one, so should
you primarily use that for sleep or other activity? When
every now and then, I just like to wear it. It's my stainless steel one. It's a different look, a different feel. You know,
yeah,
a little nostalgia there. Wearing the old one,
nostalgia.
Well,
it's only 3 years ago, Tom. I don't know how nostalgic that is.
That's the. It's like, well, okay.
Four versions ago, though, right?
Exactly. That's in. Apple devices, that's a long time.
That is. That's
right.
That's like dog years, right? It's like 50 years in technology.
Yeah, what is it in technology? It's got to be even higher, right?
So
it's not 1 in 7, it's like 1 in 15. Now, I also had an issue charging my new phone and watch with that charger that I have. I'm going to pronounce the name very carefully this time. Funxim, I think it is. Funxim. 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 And what was happening was both devices did not charge overnight. So, what was happening was my watch kept reconnecting, losing connection and reconnecting all night long.
To the charger.
Yeah, it would lose connection and then reconnect over and over again. Now this charger, let me explain for those who listeners who won't understand. The charger is, it's basically what the AirPower is supposed to be. That way, if it ever comes out from Apple, it's a flat charger that you can lay your phone on to charge, but it has a hole to put the Apple Watch charging puck into. And you wrap it inside of this thing. So you have one cable, you set down your watch and your phone, and they charge. Well, the problem with the phone was, I realized, it's so slick. It kept sliding just enough off the edge of the charger to lose contact. So
sliding. Meaning it was just very slippery?
Yeah, the glass back is just so slick that it just like slightly moves enough to lose contact. So I now have a case on it that I can charge through so it doesn't move. So that problem solved.
That'll definitely help.
But the charger, guess what the problem was with the Apple Watch charging?
Space?
Nope.
Between the puck and the watch?
Maybe, but a little bit different than that. I took out the charger that came with my Series 3 that was in there, and I put in the Series 4 charger that came with my watch, and now it works fine. So my question is it the Series, is it a different charger for the 4 versus the 3?
I didn't change any chargers. Okay. Everything works great.
And you're not having, and you're still using your old charger and you're not losing contact.
That's correct. And so I have two, right? One I use at home and one I use on the road, and they're just, I didn't change anything.
So you're not using your 4 charger?
No, the 4 charger, it's probably still in the box.
Ah. See, I wondered if the back of the new watch is a little bit different. It's a little,
it could be.
A little thicker. Maybe because mine is in that holder. Maybe it wasn't high enough.
That could be. Now on my little silicon charger I use when I travel, you know, I've had to set it in place a little firmer, but I didn't think that had anything really do. I thought it was because the watch face was a little bigger versus the back. But
right.
Now that I think about it, it could be either one.
Well, you know, the watch is a little bit larger, and like when I put it in the those Cooper cases. You know what I'm talking about? The hinged case where you put the watch in, it charges, and you close the case.
Right.
That one is a little too tight for my concern. It just feels like it's clicking the crown. And I don't want that to happen when it's enclosed there. So I know there's an insert I think I can change out to make that fit. But just a little tip here for people with your Apple Watch and the charger. As we go through all these changes, just try to keep things together. Why does Apple make it so difficult with these chargers to know which one came with which device? Right? I have a whole thing of chargers. I don't know which one goes with the iPad Pro, which one goes with the regular iPad. You know, do you use the wrong one, the right one? They're not labeled in any way other than wattage, and you have to like know which wattage that particular device, you know. It just seems very un-Apple-like. It's not simple.
Yeah, I think I still have a handful of chargers. In fact, I know it's still in the boxes that never came out because I already had chargers, so I just left them in there.
Yeah, anyway. So I'm babbling, but let's – I guess that happens when you've been off for a while.
Well, it's a good experience. I knew we had a show 2 weeks ago. You were worried you were going to go in and buy something, and you did. So now you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. Like I said, anybody has any hesitations about it, you won't be disappointed. Okay, we do have a lot of news to get to this past couple of weeks. I mean, things slowed down for a little bit, but there's still a lot out there. Number one is that we have a new software update. WatchOS 5.1.1 has been released. And that 0.1 is very important at the end because that hopefully has fixed the bricked Apple Watches that was reported with 5.1 that came out a couple of weeks ago. That Apple pulled very quickly. So that bug hopefully has been squashed. So, you know, and if unfortunately, if you were one of the few whose watch was bricked, your only option is to contact Apple. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, they are sending replacement watches. So do that.
Yeah, now. That's frustrating.
It is.
Hopefully it wasn't too many people, but it would just be frustrating.
Right. And why, you know, you release something like that, you got millions of devices out there. It had to hit quite a few, I would think. But I guess some didn't brick and some did. For whatever.
Right. And what about the testing, right? Yeah. They didn't catch this in the in-house testing. Is kind of ironic.
Yeah, something slipped. But we do get a couple of new features with 5.1. Have you updated, by the way?
I have, yes.
Yeah, I did too. I did today, as a matter of fact. I finally had time. And the update was like super fast.
It was, yeah, very fast.
It's probably the fastest update I've ever done on the watch. But it which is how it should be. We now have, and I haven't tried this yet, audio-only group FaceTime. That's pretty cool. And 70 new emojis, which I haven't gotten into yet.
If I can get past using the thumbs up emoji, I'm good.
You get tired of that one?
I use it for about 99% of my responses.
Oh, I thought you were getting tired of me sending it to you. Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's okay. If I get it back, I'm fine too. That just means no. I know I'm using the right emoji.
Yeah. To me, when I get it now, I'm thinking this person has no time to talk to me. They just want to let me know it's all right.
I don't mean it that way.
No, but I'm just saying whenever I get that from anybody, that's now my thought because, yeah, it makes sense. It's a real quick hit, right? It's a quick reply. Boom. There it is.
Well, I also do it for a reason. I sent a friend of mine, we're talking about work, and I sent him the smiley face with the hard eyes and really didn't notice it, right? You're like, hey, I meant to hit the thumbs up and the smiley face with the hard eyes is right below it. And I went my merry way, you know, and then I look at my text a little later and he's like, what are you saying? So I was like, oh, sorry about that. So see, you just got to stick with the thumbs up.
You know what? We can get in a lot of trouble with the wrong emoji, right? Because it's not actual text. It's not actual language. You can you can read way too much into it, right? Mm-hmm. And I assume they fixed the whole issue with the bagel in this, whatever that was.
Did you hear about
that? Was crazy. So they came out with an image of a bagel that everybody hated, and then they had to replace it. So what was it? Something between a New York bagel and a Montreal bagel? I don't know the difference. So also if you've got a Series 4, you're also going to get a new, it's a very minimalistic watch face called Color. And it's basically you pick the color and it's some watch face hands and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Very clean, very simple, but you can make it all kinds of colors.
I kind of like it.
It's very
basic, and you can really, you know, pair it with a colored band. It actually looks kind of sweet.
Well, I have it right next to my Infograph face, so that's a sharp contrast between the two, let me tell you.
So depending how you feel in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want all that information, or I really want that information. A couple of bugs were fixed too. Fall detection is improved, and so there's a couple of walkie-talkie bugs were fixed. So FYI, you will need to download and install iOS 12.1 on your phone before you can update to this one.
And a quick note, I think you can still get 4 complications on Color, can't you? I think you get 4 complications and a monogram. So you can still do a lot with the Color face.
Yeah, but I think the Color face also, it's either full screen or it's a circle, right?
Is it a
circle? Exactly. Yeah, so there's different versions of it. Okay, what else is going on? Activity challenge set for Veterans Day, November 11th. Oh, wait, that's today. Oh, that was yesterday. Sorry.
It was yesterday.
Today's the 12th. I'm losing track of time. Hopefully everybody did it. I guess this isn't really much to talk about. It's over.
Was it just 11 minutes too?
It was.
Which is good.
I don't know if I got it. I mean, I did.
So Tom, I did a 4-mile run yesterday and I hadn't done a 4-mile run in a long time. And I forgot all about the challenge. And I was like, I'm just going to work out like crazy. And then I remembered, oh, I might've got the challenge and I can't find it anywhere on my activities or my awards.
Right. I mean, I did enough to complete my rings yesterday. I didn't do any formal workout, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. Was it 11 minutes workout or 11 minutes of activity?
It's a 11-minute single workout.
Okay, I crushed that, and I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, I don't see mine. I see mine from last year, but I don't see the new one, so I missed that one. Shoot. All right. Well, hopefully anybody else out there got to do that. You get the medal, you get the stickers, all that good stuff.
And did you notice on the activity app that they've you know put underneath the icon now what you've earned? That's new, isn't it? Because it used to be just be an icon. Now it says, for example, the name, a perfect week or perfect month or
on the phone. You know, you mean or on the?
Yes, yeah, on the phone app.
Let's see.
So go into activity on your phone app and then awards.
Yeah, I'm at awards, but all I see is the name of it and the date.
Yeah, is that new? The name and the date, or has that been there?
You know what? I think that's new.
It's new, I believe.
Yeah, it's more descriptive.
Yeah, because you used to be able to tap it and it would tell you what it is.
Right, it still does that. But now, right.
Yeah, it still does when you tap it. Right. Now it's descriptive and I like it a lot better.
Okay, so we're going to have a Thanksgiving or end of year or a challenge. We'll probably have something coming up, right?
Yeah, they had the Thanksgiving Day challenge last year. Was it? I forget what it was. Well, actually, it's right here, but didn't tell you what it is. Doing a 5K. So you were in a special work for a 5K, 3.1-mile walk or wheelchair. So that was last year.
Okay, that ain't going to happen. All right. I'm not going to be
I did it last year because I was in Tennessee and it was like 40 degrees. I'm going to be in Northeast Ohio this year. I don't do 5Ks in Northeast Ohio on Thanksgiving. Okay. Not going to work.
Yeah. That's probably coming up here. Well, we should get – it's next week. We should have –
Next week, yes. That should. So you said we're going to be consistent with our shows, and now we got a holiday next week.
I know.
Although we can fit one in, and I can.
Yeah, we can squeeze one in. Yeah. Another minor thing, very minor, but we'll mention it. The Apple Watch app icon on your phone. In 12.1.1, it has been, and I guess that's still a beta, right? 12.1.1 mm-hmm. is coming soon. They've noticed in the beta they updated the image of the watch to the new one, which hasn't been.
Oh, really?
It's got the circle on the crown instead of the solid color. And
that must be really hard to notice, though.
Yeah, slightly thinner. You know, it's the new. You can tell it's a new watch. You put them side by side, you can tell it's a new watch.
Okay. Okay.
But that hasn't been updated in quite a while.
No, so. I've never noticed if it has or not, but I really haven't paid attention.
Right. So, yeah, minor thing, but that's now different.
That's just the detail Apple puts into things, isn't it?
It does. We noticed that before, how they change little things like that. And then this is something we're finally getting to because this has been out for a while, but we haven't been doing a show. Spotify is preparing to launch an official Apple Watch app. The beta is now available via test flight. So it's currently in beta. But that should be coming soon. Right now, it looks like it just controls playback and doesn't have any other advanced features. Mm. Now, we talked about this earlier. I think it was back in 2017. Developer Andrew Chang had created Spotty, which offered a lot more features, like offline playback, things like that in the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Then Spotify got involved. They bought it, I think. The name was changed to Snowy, and it hasn't been updated since. So I don't think Snowy will ever see the light of day. It looks like they're going to be coming out with their own version of the app shortly. So if you're
that's good.
Yeah, if you're a Spotify user, there's some good news for you definitely. From the watch. Look for that.
I guess that would just be streaming only?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Just playback. So that would have to be, well, I don't know. Yeah, it'd have to be. It's Spotify. How else would you do it?
Can you download it from Spotify?
The
music? onto like a device, like a phone or an iPad?
I think you can.
Okay.
I'm actually kind of ignorant about Spotify because I don't really use it.
I've used it at my small business. We use it, but basically we just crank up tunes, and I don't really know if we save anything or not. But but I got to think you'd have that option.
Yeah. Except we don't have any real third party apps on the watch streaming anything yet.
No.
So, we'll see. Yeah. Stay tuned. It's still in beta. And then Stanford, they outlined their Apple HeartWatch rate study, which was launched back in 2017. They had over 400,000 volunteers. That's
wonderful.
An unbelievable amount of data. So that it would identify abnormal heart rhythms, analyze that pulse data collected by the optical sensor in the watch. So the app it checks your heart rate for the presence of an irregular pulse. If it regularly detects an unusual pulse rate, that participant gets a notification asking them to schedule a visit with one of their doctors for the study. And then if that happens, they will send them these electrocardiography, and that's an actual word, patches. Sounds like I'm making it up. To record the rhythm of their hearts for up to a week. But the notice you get, they have an image of that here, is pretty scary. It says irregular
heart,
and it's in red.
Yeah.
It says irregular heart rhythm observed. Please go to the Apple Heart Study app on your iPhone for an important message about your heart.
Yes.
I think I would.
It is direct. They just want you to make sure that there's no mincing of words.
But here's a funny thing. It's, funny and ironic. Below it is the dismiss button.
Yes.
Who's going to dismiss that?
I don't know.
Well, I know you have to dismiss it eventually, but I think the first thing I'm doing is hitting the crown and jumping into that app.
And plus, it's a longer message, too, so you have to use the crown to scroll up, and you're like, oh, what's this going to tell me?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this study is going to be completed early next year. So,
it's independent, it's not connected to what Apple did?
I think it's in conjunction with Apple.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Apple Heart study that that Stanford launched. So, yeah, it's in conjunction with them.
Okay.
Yeah, so... very good news there. What else is going on? A lot of stuff coming. We found out from what is it? Watch OS 5. Oh wait, that is 5.1.1. Isn't that what we just updated to? Right.
We just updated to that. Yes.
Oh, but we don't have 12.1.1 yet, right? Or do we?
We don't have what?
OS 12. iOS 12.1.1. I'm confused.
Let's check. I think we all just upgraded to 12.1. Isn't that correct?
There's too many.
Yeah, 12.1. So we don't have 12.1.1 yet.
Okay. So when we get all that together, okay, and you have watchOS 5.1.1 installed, apparently there's 7 new complications that show up in the watch face gallery. That these are specifically for the Infograph and Infograph modular faces, and they are home, mail, maps, messages, news, phone, and remote. So these are complications that you'll be able to select and put on those particular watch faces. Right now, with the beta that is being used, they show up, but they don't actually work. They're just kind of blank areas on the watch. So the theory is that these were intended to be new features for this next update, but the bricking issue with the 5.1 release, it caused Apple to rush this out, and they forgot to remove some of these unfinished features.
I don't understand why all these complications weren't on just the original release. I mean, these are basic complications, and I was looking for them over and over again, and I couldn't figure out why they weren't on there.
Yeah, now they're just static launchers, it looks like. They don't really give you any information other than a shortcut to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the messages won't have a numerical number of how many unread messages you have?
I don't see that in these images. But again, they're not working yet, so we don't know.
Yeah, right. And I was kind of confused because I upgraded to 5.1.1. I was like, all right, I'm going to load messages, and I couldn't find it. And then I realized you had to have 12.1.1.
Yes.
So a little complicated.
Yeah, I was a little confused for a minute there. But yeah, that's what it is. So that's coming. So that's good news.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
That's great. Can't wait. That's fun. Something else new that's coming, and this comes to us from watchOS 5.1.2. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh.
This is episode...
Can you put a cheat sheet together for us?
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that with our episodes. This is episode 258.1.2.
There you go.
But anyway, in this beta release, it adds a control center toggle for walkie-talkie availability. Okay, so that's something that was needed. Because currently, you have to go into the walkie-talkie app itself.
Exactly, yes.
A switch at the top of the friends mm-hmm. list in that app, and you have to toggle availability. Now you can do it anywhere on the watch just by swiping up to the control center. So that's going to be nice to have. We don't know when that's coming out. Hopefully, by the end of the year, we'll have that ability. Because that's something you want to be able to control pretty quickly.
Have you been using walkie-talkie at all?
Not really. My wife has an older watch. So until that gets upgraded, there's not too many people I can walkie-talkie
with. True.
So yeah, that's the other thing. You got to have someone or more than one person that you can put in there that you feel comfortable
it's
enough.
It's kind of maybe a smaller user group right now in your circle of friends.
It is. And I hope it doesn't become one of those things that's cool, but you'd never use it like the old heart rate thing that, you know,
yep.
when the watch first came out, that kind of nobody ever used it after they tried it once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not a big fan of putting yet another button in the control center, but this one is probably needed. But good news is you can still rearrange the control center and put it wherever you want.
Yeah, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, right? So this will make 12. That's not too bad. When you have to scroll farther down, it could get a little cumbersome.
It's still a bit of a scroll. But anyway, that's coming. So we got some stuff to look forward to.
You could probably make the icons a little smaller too. So they eventually may get to a larger number with a smaller number of icons. They could probably put 3 across.
Yeah, if I have to scroll... If you know the distance of my finger across the crown, if I have to let go and scroll again, it's too far.
Is that Tom's scroll test?
Yeah, that's my scroll test. If I can't do it just by pushing my finger up, you know, once, without it being kind of weird.
Yeah, I hear you.
What else happened this week? Was it this week or last week? Last week. Last week. Oh man, I'm sorry. Apple posted their fiscal fourth quarter earnings this past Thursday, I guess. And they beat market expectations on earnings and revenues, and it was mainly driven by iPhone and services. But the stock still plummeted following the earnings release because they're saying iPhone shipments and holiday guidance fell short of expectations. Doesn't mean they're doing something wrong. Just means it's not what people thought.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. They're trying to predict the future here.
It's odd. Just in general, the stock market's been crazy, and you never know what you're going to get.
Right. And but what was interesting, they said that the iPhone shipments were about the same year over year, but they made mm-hmm. more money because the phones were more expensive.
Yeah, they were more expensive.
So the average price jumped to an all-time high of $793 from $618 a year ago.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
And Apple indicated that it's going to stop providing shipment data for devices like the iPhone going forward. So this is it, folks. You're not going to get any more numbers out of Apple, which I guess they can do, right? They're not required to release this information?
As a public company, like, there's a minimum amount of information you have to provide, but how you segment it, I'm sure it's up to you.
I guess so, because you know they've always hidden the other category specifics.
I think obviously they must be reporting correctly, else they'd be in big trouble. But
So now,
but Tom, that's why they say stock markets long term, right? Apple stock goes down one quarter, it goes up three in a row, and
right,
everyone's happy.
I guess I should buy a stock in tea, because now they're going to be reading tea leaves even more. Analysts are trying to figure this stuff out. So Apple services business, that rose quite a bit, 17%.
Yes.
They're saying paid subscriptions was up, as well as higher sales in the App Store. Now, here we go. Apple's wearable products, which includes the Apple Watch, AirPods, and Beats, saw revenues rise. Drum roll, please. Do I have a drum roll? Here we go.
Look at
by
that.
50%. Up by 50%. Because of the Apple Watch Series 4.
Yes.
So, very nice.
That's incredible. That's fantastic.
It is. It's good news. Very good news. What else was going on this?
All the other watch CEOs in the world are going, oh my gosh.
Okay. Let's talk about that a second. There's an article in TechCrunch. The title of the article is "How the Apple Watch Changed the World." 3 years later, Swiss watches are still hanging on, but for how long? Because Johnny Ive very famously said that Switzerland was going to be, and I'll use a more polite word here, was going to be screwed when the watch was announced, and that the Swiss watch industry was dead, and Apple was the one that pulled the trigger. So here we are, 3 years later, four versions of the watch, and not only is the Swiss industry still around, but they've had an uptick in sales. They're up over 5% year over year in the U.S. And it's all this luxury market. And it's very interesting. Some of these analysts are saying that the Apple Watch has created a halo effect. That, of the millions who bought and wore an Apple Watch, a majority had never worn or thought about wearing a watch. Once they tried the Apple Watch, however, they outfitted it with leather bands, fancy Milanese loops, matching colors. I know exactly what they're talking about. That their attitude changed. They theorize if wearing watches is so fun and expressive, why not try other types of watches? So maybe. I don't think, those will never go away. I think the lower end is going to be pretty much wiped out. But the high end stuff, that's jewelry. That's fashion. That's always,
it is.
Always going to be there.
Yeah, and I don't think, I may be wrong, but a millennial like my son, he's not going to go buy a Swiss watch.
No.
He may buy Swatch, something like that, but obviously he has an Apple Watch. But I think it depends on your demographic.
Yeah, and I think the whole Apple tried the high end. They tried the 10,000 luxury. That's what Johnny Ives was going for, and it failed. It turned into a health device. They have a quote here from. This is John Spear. He's a VP at Greenlight Guru, whatever that is. I'm not sure. Never heard of it before. But he said most wearables won't look like watches in the next few years. He predicts the next generation of wearables will blur the line between tech accessory and medical devices because of all the things you're going to be able to do, like measuring blood pressure, blood sugar, body temperature, and more. And I think he's sort of right about that. That this has turned into a different type of device. Therefore, the high-end expensive jewelry type stuff is totally fine. It's still going to be
sure.
there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I don't remember when it was. I'm sure it was 18 months or so ago. We had an article that I believe it was a Swiss watch CEO that said, hey, sometimes you don't want all that functionality in your watch. And you want basic timekeeping and high quality, watch device. So I remember talking about that.
Right. Except to me, it's all about the look though, not the function. If all you want is the simplicity of the watch, switch to the new color watch face. All you get are the hands, right? So nothing else to distract you. That's the beauty of the Apple Watch. It can be all these different things. In one device. What it can't be it can't look that much different. The bands can, but the watch itself is the watch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think we've had cases too where people say, "Hey, I've bought it, and it's too much upkeep." I don't think that's the right word I'm trying to think of, but
maintenance,
where you have to, maintenance. You have to, you know, charge it every night, and it's, you know, if you forget to charge it, it's not going to work. So let me just go back to a nice basic, you know, Swiss watch. And I'm sure that's happened, but I don't know if it's not the norm. It's probably the you know, small group of people that have done it.
Well, but don't the other watches require maintenance too? I guess just not as much, but you still have to.
I would say not as much, yeah.
You still have to wind them or replace batteries or whatever. But anyway.
But you know, when I, before the Apple Watch, did you ever think you needed to change bands on your watch? You never did.
No, it became a fashion thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know all too well.
Yes, you do. Me too.
That. I haven't had a new band in a while. I'm looking around. I need to find some new ones. Well, okay. Let's. I tell you what. Let's do some reviews. We haven't done these in a while.
No, we haven't.
So you've got something to review this week?
I do. It's more just reviewing some new functionality in the activity Aptom around the competition. So I guess the timing's good on this review because my son and I have done a couple competitions and we're in the midst of a third one now.
Mm.
So I've used it a little bit and it's kind of fun. So it really, the process is easy. Obviously, you have to be sharing with someone, which I won't necessarily go through that, but you just have to, you know, share your activity with someone else, and that allows you to engage in a competition. And there's a couple ways to start a competition. On your watch, you just go into the activity app and then swipe over to your sharing, and you just type the person you want to do a competition with. So let me do Tom. That's you, and I'll it brings up your activity for today, and it looks like you've had a pretty leisurely day, Tom.
I admit to recovery from doing these shows. Today was an off day, yes.
So if I hit compete,
yeah,
then it says competition. You're inviting Tom to a 7-day competition, and I just invited you.
Okay.
So you should get a notification, and you can say, I guess, accept. I guess my son invited me on this last one. I think I just said accept competition. And you're in, right? So that sets up the competition on your watch. On the phone, you just go into the activity app, go into sharing, and then you do the same thing. Just tap who you want to compete with, and you can say invite to compete. So it's very easy to start the competition. And once you start the competition, there's a couple – you get notifications on how you're doing and how your opponent is doing. And I'll get – in a second, I'll kind of go through how you accumulate points and score and win. But what you can do, you can view also where you are in the competition. So if I go back into activity and go swipe right to my to my sharing, competitions are listed at the top of the watch face. So right now it says competition with my son, Christopher. He has 2,081 points. I have 2,503 points, and it says 2 days left. You just punch that, and you get a day-by-day alignment. It's like a bar graph of day-by-day. Your competitor is kind of a little lighter yellow, and you're a darker yellow, and you can see how you did with a bar graph each day. Like today, my son has 350 points. I have 299, and you can see Wednesday through Monday, so tomorrow's our last day. And then below that, if you've competed with this person before, it says total wins. My son has 0, and I have 2. So just like when he was 10 and I used to, you know, dunk on him in basketball, I'm beating him in a competition. So it's pretty neat. You can see everything you need to see on here.
Right.
You can also go into the phone and see the competition. And I haven't done multiple competitions yet. So I guess if you accept and I see tomorrow, it'll have, you know, 2 competitions at the top. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks. And when it's done, it tells you who won and you get a badge. So in your awards, there'll be a badge in there saying victory over Christopher. And it gives you, you know, you earned a 7-day competition award over Christopher, and you earned it on 11-5, right? So you get a badge for winning. So if you want to accumulate a bunch of badges, just invite a lot of people and beat their butt in a competition.
Yeah, so, I got your thing here, and it says competition. Chris is challenging you to a 7-day competition, and there's a picture of the award, the medal, spinning around. And I have a choice of let's do this, learn more, or dismiss. So what happens if I dismiss? Do you get a notification saying something?
Tom's a wimp.
Yeah, does it give you an option?
I bet it does say, it just probably says you decline the
okay, I just hit dismiss. So let's see what it says. Okay.
See if now, it does anything.
Now, I don't know if that just dismissed the notification or dismissed the challenge.
I would say it dismisses the challenge. We're about to find out. And so nothing – well, we'll just continue on and I'll see if anything shows up.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Let you know. But that's kind of cool. I like that.
Once you accept the challenge, by the way, you're in. You can't like halfway through it, I'm getting beat up, I'm just going to ignore it.
You can't bail on it, huh?
You can't bail. That's all. You can mute notifications so you don't get the notification, but you can't bail on the reward or the challenge. So real quick, because I'm taking time here, let me go through how you score. Because when I first noticed you getting points, I'm like, points? I thought I was going to get something else. But actually, I didn't know what I was going to get. But when I saw points, I'm like, I got to figure out what this is. So basically, you have a maximum of 600 points per day. And for normal stand day is 12. And you can accumulate 100 points for a stand. So 100 or 12 divided by 100 is 8.33. Did I do that right? No, 100 divided by 12 is 8.33. Thank you very much. So you get 8.33 points for every stand. So if you stand 12 and 12, you're going to get 100 points. But if you stand 20, you get 200 points. So wow. So you can overachieve on stand. It's 8.33 points per stand. So that, again, you're maxing out at 600 per the day, but you can overachieve on your stand. And this was funny. I was reading, how this one guy who was behind in the competition, so he'd set his alarm for like 12:59 a.m. and wake up and do two stands, one at 12:59 and one at 1 o'clock. And then he'd wake up at like 2:59. I was like, okay, he really needed the points. But you can get two stands in 2 minutes if you play it right, and then get 2 hours of sleep and do it again. Exercise. Is basically 3.33 points minute, right? So 30 minutes is 100 points, and then 3 hours would be 600 points. So again, again, if you max out at 600 points and you're getting points for stand and points for activity, obviously if you do a couple hours of exercise, you're gonna max out, and then you don't get any more coverage for it. So you do your 30 minutes, you're going to get 100 points. Do your 12 stands, you're going to get 100 points. That's 200. And then activity, they call it, it's like a wild card. So it's standard for stand and exercise. Everyone has 12 and everyone has 30. Now it's different for activity. And this is where if you do a challenge, Tom, and I noticed this with my son and RC, I think he has his set at 380 calories, and I have mine set at 500.
Wow.
So I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because you get 1%, you get 1 point for every percent you complete. So if I have a 500 calorie challenge or daily goal and I hit 250, I get 50 points. It's 50% of my daily goal. If I get 500 calories, that's 100%. And if I get 1,000 calories, that's 200%, I get 200 points. But I have to get 500 calories to get 100 points. My son has to get 380 calories to get 100 points. So if you're not, even Steven, it could be a little bit of an advantage if you don't have the same activity.
Right. I couldn't, if I accept the challenge, can I then suddenly change my settings?
You can. Yes.
Ooh, that's cheating.
It is. I was reading and said, you can set your calories at 10.
Wow.
And then, so it is cheating, but your competitor will know.
Yeah, that's true. So, they'll know.
So anyway, I know that was kind of long and belabored, but it's kind of neat how they do the points, and it's kind of neat to the competition, and it's kind of see that how it all works. But you can, that's kind of a little background on the competitions.
Yeah, this is something we talked about with Apple employees have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they've released it to everybody. And you couldn't have challenged me yesterday. I crushed my goals yesterday.
Oh. I did 200% yesterday with my 4 mile run, and then I did some work in the afternoon.
Yeah, I did. Mine is set at 400. You doubled your calories?
Yeah, I did like 1,200 calories yesterday.
Yeah, I did 15 of 12 hour stands. So yeah, I had a pretty good day yesterday. Anyway, that's pretty cool. So yeah, if anybody out there wants to challenge someone, now they have the ability. See, I kind of forgot about that whole thing, that it was even on there.
You probably have the opportunity to challenge someone, and I just gave you way too much information. Just challenge and win. That's all you got to do.
All right. Well, I accept the challenge of using the challenge, just not at the. By the way, did you get anything dismissed?
I'm looking now. I'm trying to see if I have any kind of notification at all. I don't see anything.
Okay. I don't know what happened to our challenge then, because I didn't accept it.
Let me go back to you, Tom, here. No, it says Tom's invite sent. Tom has 40 hours to accept.
I can either ignore or accept. So I just tapped ignore. I don't know if you get something or not, but
we'll see.
Anyway,
go ahead and do your review.
Let me move on. Okay, so
I didn't get any notification. It just reset to compete.
Okay,
so just kill the competition, but didn't give any specific, hey, Tom ignored you.
Yeah, that's a polite way to do it.
I think so.
Okay, great. As you know, I've been doing a lot of traveling lately. And on the road, we go through these higher elevations every now and then. And I'm always wondering how high up we are, right? Living in Houston, which is pretty close to sea level, we're at about 50 feet. So a lot of areas that we travel are a lot higher than where we normally are. And you know, when you don't really notice it and all of a sudden your ears pop and you can hear better. And I think, whoa, how high up are we? Right. So naturally I look for an app for that. And I think we may have reviewed an elevation app a long time ago on the show, but I was looking for one that is mainly a complication for the watch. Mm-hmm. Seeing as how the Series 4 allows for so many more complications on the watch face. Well, I found one. It's called Watch Altimeter Pro. Watch Altimeter Pro with Complication for a Watch is the full name. Now, this app is $1.99, and it's basically just for a complication on the watch. The Series 3 watch, that introduced the new barometric altimeter in the watch, right? And the Series 4 has it as well. But I find it strange. There is no built-in complication for that. And it's odd that Apple goes to the trouble of putting this technology into the watch, but you can only take advantage of it through another app, like the workout app, a cycling or running app. Mm-hmm. You'll get that information. But there's no way to just get that info, right, without going through another app. So the Watch Altimeter Pro, the phone app doesn't really do anything but allow you to change some of the settings for the watch app. You can switch between feet and meters, so you can set, you know, which way you want to view them. You can also set the accuracy. You can go from kilometer to 100 meters to nearest 10 meters to best to very best. And changing any of these settings requires the Apple Watch app to be open. And in my experience, that doesn't always work. I've had to uninstall and reinstall the app several times to get it to work. Selecting the complication puts it on the watch face. And again, I noticed I had to keep opening up the app on the watch to get an update for the complication, for it to show up. And it just isn't as consistent as I would have hoped for. I know there's a lot going on here, but I don't understand the connection to the phone. I would think that the watch app would be getting the elevation information from the chip in the watch. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why the complication shouldn't be updated more often. And it was a little frustrating using this app. Now, maybe I had the wrong setting on. I'm not sure, but we were driving through, Wyoming and into Colorado. So I kept checking the complication on the watch. I know we're getting higher here. We'd pass an elevation road sign. I'd look at my watch and it wasn't matching up.
Oh, gosh.
But if I tap the complication and launch the app on the watch, I got the real elevation. And then when I push the crown to get back to the watch face, the complication would update to the correct elevation. So not an ideal way to use it.
No, not really. Not real time.
I mean, why show the elevation if it requires tapping on it to give you the current info? Anyway, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. It just seems a little convoluted.
It becomes more of like a hot button versus a complication.
Right. So I would hope in the future Apple will give us more complication options. We talked about those coming up, but from the built-in features like this. And I haven't had a chance to test any other elevation apps out there yet. I'm sure there might be a better one. This one was called Watch Altimeter Pro. And I'll keep using it and update you on it. It does have a little chart, if you will, a graph that keeps track of your elevation. So if you're moving around a lot or going up and down, you'll see those peaks and whatnot and the little chart on your watch. But not sure about it, especially for $1.99.
Right.
The install and reinstall and getting it to work and not work was a little frustrating. And I don't know if they maybe need to update for the latest version of the OS or watch, but that might be a part of it.
But dumb question. If I was on a Delta plane at 33,000 feet and got onto their Wi-Fi, would it work?
Probably.
That'd be kind of cool.
I would imagine it would, yeah.
It might run out of digits.
Yeah. It might wonder what you're doing. So if I climb Mount Everest, we were driving through Wyoming, by the way. There was also an area that had a high wind advisory stating that lightweight, taller vehicles take an alternate route. And so I used the wind complication on my watch during that really fun stretch of road because our vehicle's quite tall. And I had to fight that wind for quite a while. I didn't, of course, take an alternate route, which I probably should have. But I kept checking the wind on the watch. It was about 20 or 30 miles an hour, and the gusts were like 50 or 60. And those can be a little dangerous.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I bet that was dicey.
It was, but I loved having the ability because, you know, there's no signage out there that tells you the wind speed.
That's true.
You know, like there is elevation, but
not a windsock or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I have a weather filled infograph watch face. It has the current weather condition, temperature range, wind speed, sunrise, sunset, a radar scope, elevation, the UVI index. You know, it's just like an entire, you know, meteorology station on your watch, which is kind of cool.
That's neat. I mean, you had a real application to use that application, no pun intended, to, you know, driving through the Rocky Mountains. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, just in those different areas. Because, again, it sneaks up on you. You have no idea how high you really are as you're driving through there. Let's get to some listener feedback. We've got a couple of them here. The first one here is from Jessica. Hi, my name is Jessica. I love your podcast and listen frequently. I have a few questions. My Series 3 watch crashed twice this week. Should I upgrade to the Series 4? And by the way, she has three different things she's asking. So let's take the first one here. If it's crashing twice in a week, there's a couple of things you can do. I'm not going to recommend you get a new watch just for that reason. You might want to do what I did recently, which is you might want to reset it and either repair it from an older backup and see if that helps, or you may just wipe it completely and start over. Just like a computer or anything else, sometimes it just gets a little crazy and you just have to wipe that slate clean and start over. I don't think there's anything physically wrong with your watch. It's got to be software. And that sometimes will solve it. I mean, if it's only crashed twice during a week, you also might want to think about what did you recently add to the watch? What apps? What might you be doing different? You know, that might be one suggestion.
Or if you got a new phone, maybe a new phone.
Yeah. What's the new variable? But should you upgrade to the Series 4? That's more for you to decide if you want to take advantage of the new features, if you can afford it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just because it's crashing a couple of times doesn't mean it's dead, especially a Series 3. Series 3 are great. There's no reason to jump. If this was a Series Zero watch, I'd say, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's move on. The second question here. My MacBook needs replacing, and I plan to get one with a touch bar. I'm visually impaired and use VoiceOver. Can someone give tips and demos so I know what to expect? I have the MacBook with the touch bar, and I was looking at this to turn on the VoiceOver. You hold down, I think it's the command key, and you tap the fingerprint or the, I don't know, there's a different name for it. It's the fingerprint reader on the touch bar. It's on the far right corner of the touch bar. You tap that, you push that three times while holding down the command key, and it invokes VoiceOver. And VoiceOver will tell you what's on that touch bar screen as you tap on it. So if you tap on something on that screen, it will tell you you've just touched whatever button, and then tells you if you tap twice anywhere on the touch bar, you invoke whatever that button does. So I mean, it does guide you through it pretty well, and I'm sure that's kind of how the rest of the VoiceOver works. But yeah, that's a good question when you think about it. That touch bar is very visual. So how does that work for someone who is visually impaired? And that is, at least from my testing of it, that's how it works. So it is possible to use.
Very nice.
Now, the debate as to how useful that touch bar is, whether you're visually impaired or not, is a different question, because a lot of people don't use it. They just don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think it's either distracting, or they just ignore it or forget it's there. So
yeah, I think so.
That's a different question. Number three, she asks, how does unlock with Apple Watch work? Have you used that, Chris?
Unlocking my Mac with my Apple Watch?
Yes.
Huge thumbs up. Yeah, I've used it since day one of the capability. It works great. Set it up. It just works.
Now, I've not used it, and the reason I didn't was when I first got my MacBook, my new one, I wasn't using the latest operating system on it because I had some stuff I still had to run with the old one. And now that I've updated it, I just haven't gone in and turned that feature on yet. So I will do that and try it. But from what I hear, it's simple to do, correct? To set up?
Yeah, it's a, what do you call it? The dual authentication.
Okay.
Once you set that up, then it just actively works. And I've changed watches, I want to say twice, but maybe once, I lose track. And it just worked when you upgrade, you know, when you create your new watch or pair your new watch, it works with the new watch. I didn't have to do anything. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, it's great. And when it happens, obviously your computer unlocks, but you get a haptic on your watch and a graphic of the Mac and says your iWatch is unlocked to your computer. So, you know, if you're walking by and you accidentally did it and didn't mean to, you get a haptic signal that you knew you did it.
Okay, great. Yeah, so it does work very well. I can't give you specifics on how to set it up because I haven't done it yet, but from what Chris says, it sounds like it's pretty easy.
It is. It takes a couple minutes. That's it.
Yeah, to set it up. Anyway, she says, keep up the great info, Jessica. Thank you for that email, Jessica. I hope we answered all your questions there.
I would say, Jessica, just it doesn't take long, but it's not super intuitive. Go to YouTube and Google it, and it'll tell you how to do it, and just do it in sync with the video.
Okay. Yeah. So to get a guide, so to speak.
Yes. You definitely need a guide.
Okay. Or someone who's done it. This is the best guide.
It's kind of techie. Some tech geek in you know, California put it together.
Right. It's one of those magic things, though, right? That when it works, you're just
it's great. It keeps working.
Okay. Next up is Ray. Ray says, guys, I need to vent about the way Apple sells new Apple Watches and the associated watch bands. And I knew what was coming when he said this, Ray. He says, I absolutely hate the fact that depending on the material, stainless steel or aluminum, and the color of the watch chosen, Apple gets to decide which $50 plus band you get with your new watch. Why can't they just sell you the watch and let you bundle it with whatever Apple Watch band you would like? This is analogous to buying an expensive dress suit and then having the store tell you it also includes a particular style of expensive shoes that you don't like. What if you love the suit but don't like the shoes that come with it? If it's an mm-hmm. Apple suit, you take what you get and either buy an additional pair of shoes you do like, or you try to sell the shoes that came with the suit online at a loss. I understand what you're talking about, Ray. Ray says, I was an original Series Zero aluminum sport watch user. I really like gold, so I chose the gold aluminum model. I loved it. When I was going to buy a Series 4 watch, I was planning to move up to the stainless steel model. And since I like gold watches, like in the old days, I was interested in the gold stainless steel Apple watch. That was until it came in the mail. If you ask me, it is more bronze than it is gold. And if it's gold, it's a weird gold. I also have an iPhone 8 with no immediate plans to upgrade. The Series 4 gold stainless steel and the gold on the iPhone 8 are about as different as gold could be.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did notice that the gold iPhone XS is the same bad bronze gold, which I don't like either. So I decided to go with the gold aluminum Series 4 watch. It's actually a better gold than the Series 0 or 1, and it more closely matches my iPhone 8. Now back to the bands. As far as I'm concerned, the two bands that come with a Series 4 gold aluminum watch are more pink than they are gold. And as a 71-year-old guy, I'm not really into pink. So now I'm stuck with a new pinkish band that I will never wear. Why does Apple make this so difficult? And he says, P.S., where is the best place to unload a new in-the-box Apple Bands? Ray, thanks for your email, Ray. Yeah, I hear your pain. I was a little frustrated, too, in looking at some of the options. I like certain bands. That's why I ended up buying one extra when I was at the store, and I think that's what they count on. I had hopes. I really did, that when you buy a new Series 4 watch now, the band is in its own box, which is identical to the box that are on the shelf in the Apple store. And the watch comes almost separate in the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're bundling it that way, why couldn't you pick your own band? Or is that something they're moving towards? I don't get it. Why not? If I don't have a choice, if you only sell that watch in these two band colors, why are you repackaging the band separate in the box?
It depends if it's build to order, build to stock, Tom. And I think this is build to stock. I think they build and package everything up right at the manufacturer, and they bring the bands and the watches together. So it's basically build to order or build to stock. If you want to build to order, you're going to have to have all your watches, all your bands, the order comes in and you match it up, and it's just a more complex supply chain.
But why couldn't you sell the watch? Give me the option of buying the watch, just the watch. I have a bunch of bands.
Certainly you could do that.
All
right?
I want is the watch.
It just connects a supply chain, right? You have a watch, you have more SKUs, right? You have just the watch,
yeah.
Or just the band.
Or one that's paired with it.
Maybe they ship
it
from different things. You get two boxes.
Right. Drop the price $50.
Which isn't too bad.
Drop the price $50.
Or you just get one box
yeah.
with the watch, right? Because you don't need a band.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, drop the price $50. Let me buy just the watch. And I'll get my own band separate, the one I want. Anyway, I understand, Ray, the frustration. Apple's going to have to figure this out. That's all I can say. I mean, they're doing great without it, so maybe not. But, we're still buying every one of them, aren't we? I don't know what the answer is, Ray, but... I guess you just got to do your research, go to the store, look at the colors of the bands and the watches before you buy them. It's going to be the only way to do it for now.
We need to start an exchange for watch bands.
There was some of that when this thing first came out. When the Apple Watch was first released, people were exchanging bands in different colors and sizes. You know, the fluorolastomer bands that some didn't want a certain kind or a certain color. So they'd switch mm-hmm. them out because they came with the larger one. You know, they came with both, right? You could have a smaller band and then a larger one in the same box. So they were selling off the other one. But let's start that. Let's create a whole
Apple crap.
There you go. Start. Oh, man. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Sorry, this show is getting away from us here. It's very long.
Well, you know, with just two of us, yeah. we went. You know, I'm looking at the time. It goes fast for us. I don't know about the listeners.
Yeah, I know. I apologize. We're a little out of practice. Well, thank you for all those emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show. If you have a question about the show or about the Apple Watch, just send it to comments@applewatchcast.com and we'll try to get to it here on the show. It's very simple to do. Anything else before we, gosh, I don't know. I don't have a clever ending set up for this one.
Nothing more for me. Ready to go.
Okay. Before we accept someone's challenge, activity challenge, and
there you go. Accepting someone's challenge,
sign off and start doing some pushups. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check us out on patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It doesn't cost a whole lot to subscribe, and it does help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on our show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. Can subscribe to us in iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, as I said, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com and we'll try to read it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and well, that's about it. Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.